What's up, everybody? It is Thursday, September 12th, and you're listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris Farley, at Farley Betts on Twitter. And in case you haven't seen it on Twitter, this NFL season, Laying the Points, is going to be a more of an ad hoc podcast. The main event, the main show, is the NFL Roundtable. And every single week on Tuesday, probably always at noon Eastern Standard Time, that might switch a few times during the season, but we will go live on Twitter and talk the full NFL slate for that week. And our numbers, our views, the traction we've been getting has been really awesome. So I just want to thank everyone who's been listening to the NFL Roundtable. Please tell your friends. I think it is a really unique show as far as all the different personalities, you know, the different approaches from the guys that are on the show. And we have special guests on rotation all the time who are going to be joining us throughout the season. Legendary sports bettors in the NFL betting world that are going to be joining us on random shows. So it's always going to be different and new. It's always going to have that new feeling, that special guest feeling, but also very much the same crew, me, Patrick, Jake, probably Matt Rutledge a lot too, getting after it every Tuesday, talking NFL ball and the bets that we're going to make. And it has been a really great experience so far, and I thank you for all of your support. Some other things. If you're looking for free plays from me, sportmoney.com, the newsletter over there is where to go. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we release a newsletter three times a week. Wednesday and Friday are where I give my free NFL takes. Monday is usually reserved for WNBA. We're still winning in the WNBA, even though I'm not personally betting it. We were 3-1 on Monday in our picks. And last week we did really well in the NFL as well. So plenty of free picks. You can also check out my Farley Betts free pick tracker on Twitter. There's a link to my link tree, which then has a link to that, the free pick tracker. If you want to see all the bets that I'm making every single week in the NFL, keep me transparent, keep me honest. Of course, if you want to become a top play customer, just DM me at Farley Betts on Twitter, and you will get my emails as soon as those lines and picks come out every single week, usually Sunday through Tuesday, as I make all my early grabs. Those are all 3 to 5 unit plays. And so far, 4-2 plus 2.6 units. Of course, last week, the Tennessee Titans did the unthinkable and did not cover that game ever after having a 17-0 lead, after only allowing the Bears in the red zone once all game. No touchdowns from the Bears, 148 total yards from the Bears, and the Titans still didn't cover plus 4.5. I'm still upset about that, but it is what it is, right? Like, this is the industry that we're in sports betting. It's gambling. It's volatile, especially in the NFL. I wanted to do this podcast today because what is so often talked about in the sports betting world these days is the teams versus numbers argument, right? Are you the kind of guy or girl who watches a lot of NFL football and you make your bets mostly based off of what your analysis is on the game itself, the teams? Or are you a market reader, somebody who analyzes the market all the time, right? Is looking for inconsistencies in the market, maybe inflation, where these numbers have moved a little too much. And that's how and why you make your bets. I'm somewhere in between, right? I'm a football guy. It's my nature. I've been doing this for a very long time. I used to predict games when I was just a kid with my dad. He would bring home a 16-game pick'em, and I would help out, and we would win sometimes because I was pretty good at it back then. I'm still pretty good at it now, and I know my football, right? As some of my smarter friends say in the football world, the guys that are all about the numbers, it's because they don't know shit about football. And that's probably true for the most part. And the guys that are just betting the numbers in the market are probably saying, those idiots don't know anything about math or about analytics. That might be partially true too. I don't want to be in either camp solely. I've never been that way in my life. I prefer to be dynamic, unpredictable, if you will, but more so comprehensive in the way that I approach the betting world, and especially in the NFL, where there's a lot of psychology involved, right? There's a lot of sociology involved. Like, how are these players and coaches interacting on the team? What are we seeing on the field? What are the patterns of behavior? Like, I love that side of it. but you cannot ignore the marketplace and you cannot ignore all the inflation that we're seeing this week in week two. So I'm going to go through every one of these games one more time very quickly, giving you both sides of the problem, right? We're going to approach it from the teams angle and we're going to approach it from the numbers angle and why those sides might be opposed. And I'm going to begin this podcast, this short podcast, just by saying what I'm going to say at the very end. Most of the time in this week two setup, when it's teams versus numbers, guys, the numbers, that camp wins. And there's a big reason for that that you'll see play out as I talk about these games. The Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. From a football perspective, both of these teams started off pretty slowly. Both of their defenses and offenses looked a lot better in the second half. Josh Allen is probably the best player in the field. The Dolphins have injuries to their running backs. That's a real concern. Could make their offense a lot more predictable. But at the same time, at South Beach, Miami, they've been 3-0 the past two seasons under Mike McDaniel. It's a hard team to stop once they get going. And Buffalo has had a lot of injuries on the defensive side themselves. When Matt Milano is not in, it's not a great defense. We've seen that plenty of times in the past. Now, the Buffalo Bills are still overly reliant on Josh Allen. I still see a lot of points in this game. I would lean Buffalo because I do think it's a good situation for them coming off the momentum of last week. Josh Allen's the best player and Miami's a little banged up. From a numbers perspective, I just think it makes sense. Miami has given a slight favoritism. That's a terrible word for what I'm talking about. But, you know, Miami is given the credit of having their home field advantage at Hard Rock. And thus, they're 2 to 2.5 point favorites. It's really nothing more than that. Not a lot of inflation here. This is a fair number. Saints and Cowboys. So the Cowboys went from being 3-point dogs on the road last week. Now, that went down to, 2.5, 2, 1. But at one point, I think it was at least close to 3. It was definitely 2.5, right? So the Cowboys go from that, from a numbers perspective, the Cowboys go from that to now 6-point favorites. Now, of course, they're at home, so that grants 2 to 3 points. The Saints beat up on the Panthers last week. Even if that's more about the Panthers, the Saints did exactly what they're supposed to do, right? If they're a really good team, that's what the score would be, right? A 30-something point win. I forget the actual score, but they beat the shit out of the Panthers at home. The Cowboys are famous for tripping over themselves after they have success. So this is inflation on the Dallas Cowboys. If you're a numbers guy, you're taking the Saints. And maybe if you're a football guy, based on the way the Saints defense can play and based on maybe some improvement from Clint Kubiak and that Saints offense, maybe you should side with the Saints on that side as well. This is a big number considering how well they played last week. So I would say both sides kind of agree with the Saints there, which is interesting. It's not one of my plays this week. Not yet anyway. Probably going to stay away just because Dallas at home can be really potent. And I came into this season thinking that the Saints were a very average team, maybe below average. But the odds makers are grading them as exactly that. So that's what has me pausing, but it's still inflation in the Cowboys. Vegas and Baltimore, you talk about inflation. Well, I don't think this is inflation from a numbers perspective. The Baltimore Ravens are one of the better teams in the NFL. I think most odds makers and bettors still think that. Vegas was humbled by Jim Harbaugh and a Chargers team that's without a lot of offensive weapons that they've had in the past. So not really an inflation thing here. It's just a big number. Hard to take a team in week two at -9, even if they're at home. And Baltimore, I think, you know, I'm in agreement with a lot of bettors that they're not going to be as good this season. Lamar Jackson looks fantastic, but their defense, you know, when you lose a guy like Mike McDonald, it's a big deal. So from a football perspective, you might want to take the Raiders. From a number perspective, this just makes sense. Giants and Washington opened at 3, now down to +1 for New York. Washington's at home. This is obviously a dumpster fire, so I'm not going to even really talk about it. People like the Giants this week as a teaser leg. I'm not against that. From a numbers perspective, right, not much is going on here. Both teams suck. Washington's at home. Both teams didn't look very good last week. Let's move on. Chargers and Panthers. This is one of the bigger inflation points that we've seen in the marketplace all week. Because while the Chargers were home favorites last week, up to what, -4.5 at a certain point against the Raiders, to be -6, they opened up -4.5 on the road at Carolina. Now they're -6. That's saying on a neutral site, the Chargers are more than a touchdown favorites over the Panthers after 1 week of football. That's big time inflation. But from a football perspective, how can you trust the Carolina Panthers? They showed us nothing last week. Bryce Young's statistics, his ratings are extremely low, like not even in the same ballpark of the next worst quarterback. So he just doesn't look good. I don't trust their defense. I don't trust their rush. Like, I would not be surprised if the Chargers covered this line, even with that inflation. Easy one to stay away from. Another pretty easy one to stay away from. I think Jordan Love is worth at least 5 or 6 points. Like, I think if Jordan Love is playing this game against the Colts, that they're 3-point favorites. Well, now they're 3-point dogs, +2.5 at a lot of shops now. The Colts and Anthony Richardson are going to be a very volatile team all season from a football perspective, because that's Anthony Richardson, right? He got 9 passes completed last week for 212 yards, something like that. Amazing plays, amazingly strong arm, great athlete. But from a football perspective, it's always going to be pretty volatile. Shane Steichen is a great coach, in my opinion. He's an offensive guru. He's only going to make this team better. I'm not sure how much of a motivator he is, but they got a lot of professionals on that team. I think their defense gets better too. But how can you trust the Packers? Like, numbers guys are going to want to trust the Packers here, right? Because even with Malik Willis as their starter, it's still a big move, right? Like, the Packers are still at home and they're underdogs by 3 points at some shops still. Now that's juiced up, but they're probably going to want to take the Packers. I can't do it, because anytime I've seen Malik Willis on the field, yikes. The 49ers at the Vikings. From a football perspective, do the Vikings just have that effect on the 49ers where they are able to keep things close, where they are able to just match up well for some reason and cover this line, or maybe even win this game like they did last season? In San Francisco, this kind of starts their tough schedule. They got to go somewhat across the country into the Midwest. Then they have to fly back to LA to face the Rams next week after being on Monday Night Football. Not easy. From a numbers perspective, this is probably, like, there's no inflation here. This is probably right, at least how it opened up, right? Like, it opened up at 5, it's back to 5. We saw some inflation there a little bit on the 49ers, going up to 6, 6.5 maybe at some books, but you would expect that, right? It's the 49ers, right? They were in the Super Bowl last year. They looked really good in week one. But are we trusting them too much? Probably a stay away for me. Sharps obviously think that Minnesota is going to keep it close. Browns at Jaguars. For me, this is one of the tougher ones to bet on, because the Cleveland Browns just went from being the favorite at home against the Cowboys, who looked fantastic, to now road underdogs at a Jacksonville franchise, a Jacksonville team who didn't look good at all last week either. I mean, they looked good for the first half, sort of, but then there's the same old story from Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars in the second half. They couldn't stop the Dolphins. Trevor Lawrence kind of airmailing some balls, just very inconsistent. And now they're 3-point favorites. Like, this one stands out as a marquee game for numbers bettors, right? And most of your most successful guys in the sports betting industry are relying on numbers. This is one of the max situations this week where you would want to support the Cleveland Browns. Even with Deshaun Watson and all the bullshit in the media, you would just want to, right? Because Jacksonville deserving 3 or 3.5, even at home, gross. Seahawks and Patriots. Patriots, even off of a win over the Bengals, are not getting that much love. +3.5 at home. Seattle traveling across the country, of course. Not a great spot for Seattle. And New England has a Thursday game next week, right? So multiple bad situations in this game for Seattle and New England. From a football perspective, Seattle, I wasn't that impressed by them. They kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times. New England's defense looks very good, at least for most of that game and the plays that mattered. They made the plays that mattered. But Jacoby Brissett, like, eventually that's going to regress. From a numbers perspective, this is pretty close to probably what it should be based on preseason metrics. Although New England probably getting a little bit of love. Like, if New England lost week one, Seattle's probably a stronger favorite here. Jets and Titans. From a football perspective, the Jets should still be considered a much better team, right? They faced the 49ers at San Francisco in their first game with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's no surprise they lost. At the same time, from a numbers perspective, now you're going from, you know, 6-point underdogs on the road to San Francisco to 4-point favorites on the road to Tennessee. Like, how bad is Tennessee? If Tennessee wins that game, then what is this number? Right? Because ultimately they lost. Right? Is Tennessee getting a little, like not as much love because they lost? I don't know. It says here on this site that I look at that measures how many bets are on each side, which I do not care about at all. It says that the Titans are getting the most bets, but can't say that I really fall for that one. From a football perspective, I think you're going to want to take the Jets. From a numbers perspective, you're going to want to take the Titans. Home dog, 0-1. They're going to keep it close, right? Like, that's the mentality. Bucks at Lions. From a numbers perspective, this line has been going up and up. 7.5 at most books on the Lions now. Odds makers, but more so sharps, think that the Lions are going to blow out the Bucks. And, that's not inflation for me, even though we have 2-1-0 teams. Maybe Tampa Bay deserves some more love. Nah. We saw the way Tampa Bay matched up against the Lions in the past. Would not be surprised at all if the Lions blew them out from a numbers or and a football perspective. But then again, at the same time, it's a 7.5 in week two, right? So, Tampa Bay's maturation and Baker Mayfield as a part of that team, as a stalwart member at this point, maybe that's worth considering. Rams at Cardinals. Rams opened up as 2.5-point favorites in this one. And of course, the reason why they're underdogs now, just +1 or +1.5, is because of the injuries to their offensive line, is because Puka Nacua is not going to be in the game. I said it on the NFL roundtable, and I'll say it now. From a football perspective, I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but Matthew Stafford incurred that same situation in-game against the Lions and went up and down the field against the Lions defense in Detroit. So he's going to be in the same situation Sunday. I think he can succeed, and I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are a very good team. This numbers, it makes sense why it's happening. From a football perspective, I think you can argue that the Rams and Sean McVay, who has owned the Cardinals, he's 13-2 against the Cardinals, you would look to the Rams here. Cincinnati and Kansas City, right? Like, this is one made for the numbers, guys, because Cincinnati, they lose week one. They didn't look good at all. Joe Burrow looked uncomfortable. Now they're going to Kansas City against the Chiefs team that Joe Burrow has beaten more than he's lost to. Like, Joe Burrow, according to their one-on-one matchups, is better than Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but he's beaten Patrick Mahomes more than Patrick Mahomes has beaten him. I think it's 3-2, something like that, or 3-1, or 4-2, something, whatever. That being said, right, Kansas City looked better than ever last week. They're on 10 days of rest. They're still at home, and Cincinnati has sucked at the very beginning of every season that we've seen Joe Burrow on that team. So from a football perspective, you got to like Kansas City. From a numbers perspective, a Bengals organization that has been to the Super Bowl with many of these same parts before. Now, T. Higgins is a big concern. Doesn't look like he's going to play. So that's another concern from a football perspective that you want to like about the Bengals. But if you're a numbers guy, you're taking Cincinnati in this spot, as tough as that is. Steelers and Broncos, I don't have much to say about this one because Steelers are getting some love after a win last week, as they probably should against the Denver Broncos team, who we don't know how good they are. But Denver's at home, and this is one of those spots, like, Mike Tomlin as a road favorite is not very good, something like 42% against the spread. This is one of those spots where numbers guys, they're gonna take the Broncos. Football guys are going to say, well, the Steelers are going to, like, TJ Watt against Bo Nix, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? So both make sense. One of those situations where the numbers guys tend to win more than the football guys, just saying. Doesn't mean it's going to happen this time. Bears at Texans. This one has been static almost all week. a lot of bets on the Bears, actually, according to the site I'm looking at. Again, don't give a shit about that, and you shouldn't either, because there's no way that they can really know that information across the world, who's betting what, right? It's based off of just a few books, if not maybe one book. So don't pay attention to bet splits, like, ever. That being said, Houston is deservedly a 6.5-point favorite at home, and I could argue they could be an even bigger favorite, judging by how naive and poorly Caleb Williams played last week, and judging by what we've seen from the Houston Texans in the past. And now they buttoned up. From a football perspective, they buttoned up last week, and they figured it out against the Colts. So, you know, both can be true. From a football perspective, you're going to want Houston here probably. From a numbers perspective, you're getting the Bears in a lot of points, and they didn't play very well last week, so maybe you're expecting that they're going to hang in this game. Another football perspective versus number ones for Monday Night Football. The Falcons are 0-1. The Eagles are 1-0. The Falcons went into week one as the favorite at home against the Steelers. Now they're 6.5-point dogs, and that number's only gone up on the Falcons on the road at Philly, a place that Kirk is not going to be very good at, you would think. Has a losing record against them in his career, 3-4. You know, not good in primetime games. We've seen that plenty in Kirk's career. He's brand new with this team. From a football perspective, you want to fade the Falcons all fucking day. From a numbers perspective, the 0-1 Falcons, numbers guys, market guys, are 100% going to take the Falcons in this position every single time. So in review, the Falcons, the Bears, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Titans, the Browns, the Vikings, the Panthers, some maybe on the Raiders, not as much, and then the Saints. Those are what the numbers guys are going to want to take, period. The football guys almost across the board are going to want to take the other side. I'm here to tell you that the numbers guys win more often in these situations. That is all we have here on Laying the Points. Thank you for listening. This will continue to be an ad hoc podcast. That means it's going to be random all football season when I just want to talk to you. Please listening and watching the NFL Roundtable that's available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, everywhere you find podcasts. And we go live on Twitter every week at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. Love you all. Thanks for listening. Let's win some damn money.